You can prepare. You can either prepare to deal with 2020, or you can make 2020 deal with you. That the posture you take into 2020 will do more to determine whether it's a good year than will the things that happen to you in that year. The posture, the attitude, what you take into the year with you will determine more what the year will be than the things that will happen. If we really believe that God is God and we are not, if we really believe that He has a plan for our lives to use everything that happens to us and around us to train us, to teach us, to strengthen us, to benefit us, right? That He will turn all things, work all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So either we believe that or we don't. Either we believe that He will use everything that comes into our lives to train us, teach us, strengthen us, and benefit us. And if we believe that, then we can face the year ahead with confidence that every single thing that comes at you must bow its knee to the purpose of Jesus for your life. This is the difference between a victim or an overcomer. A victim is subject to every circumstance and cowers in the corner, hoping to stay under the radar and avoid any uncomfortable circumstances. But an overcomer knows that every circumstance is subject to the one who holds their life in His hands. And they live a life of passion with a sense of mission, and they just wait to watch how their circumstances will cower instead to the one who is working out His purpose for them. Whether you advance in your spiritual journey in the year ahead has very little to do with what happens to you and everything to do with what you choose. Say that again. Whether you advance in your spiritual journey in the year ahead has very little to do with what happens to you and everything to do with what you choose. So let's take a look this morning at what does that mean? What does that mean? We tend to want to get, here's how we tend to want to do life. We want to get all of our ducks in a row and then freeze our lives in some state of perfection and then coast trouble-free for as long as we can. Is that fair? Is that what we kind of want? We want to get all our ducks in a row and then freeze our life in a state of perfection and then coast as long as we can without any troubles. Right? That's what we want. But everything about that statement is wrong. Because there's always a stormtrooper duck. There are always ducks that refuse to get in a row. Right? There are always things that just won't work out the way we want them to work out. And life cannot be frozen. It's always moving and always fluid and always changing. And there is no state of perfection until that which is perfect comes. And life was never intended to be trouble-free, because without trouble we will never grow. And coasting is a myth. Because we are moving against a headwind, like that first picture showed us. We're moving against a headwind, and if we stop moving forward, we lose ground. There's no such thing as coasting. So we have this idea, the if I can just idea. If I can just finish school, then everything will settle down and it will be sane. If I can just get married, if I can just get a better job, if I can just buy a house, then I'll be okay. If I can just get my kids through school, get my kids married, if I can just retire, then I can relax and enjoy life. But no matter what milestone you put out there in front of you and say, if I just get there, then it's going to be okay, you'll always have another milestone ahead of you. We never come to a place where we can just, oh, now I can relax. Now my life will be perfect. That's why I want to suggest to you this morning that for those of you who are retired, which is a lot of us in the room, a lot of you in the room, that retirement, according to the world's mindset, is a myth. It's a myth because it follows the faulty reasoning that we just talked about, that when you retire from a job that you did for 30 or 40 years, you will just be able to just sit on the porch and coast till Jesus comes. I can hear from the grumbling and the mumbling that you know that's not true, right? But here's the other aspect of it, is that just because you stop doing a job or a career that you were doing for 30 or 40 years does not mean that your kingdom mandate has ended. You have a mission that will continue until your last breath. And just because your mission is taking place in a different venue, in a different setting, does not mean that retirement is an option. That we are here on this earth for a purpose, and we are meant to go full out until Jesus comes or he takes us home. So no matter what stage of life we're at, there must be forward motion or we are losing ground. We must be moving forward. And so Paul uses strong, strong language in this passage. Strong language. He says that I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. There's strong, forceful language here that Paul uses to talk about what is next for him. If anyone could take it easy, it should be Paul. Right? I mean, he'd been imprisoned multiple times for Jesus. He'd been flogged multiple times for Jesus. People had stoned him with rocks and left him for dead. He had planted dozens of churches and cities all around the Mediterranean world. And he was now writing to the church in Philippi from prison again. And even with all of that, he's not ready to kick back and retire. He says, not that I have already obtained all of this or arrived at my goal. And so for Paul, there is still growth. There is still more. There is still tomorrow. There is still forward motion that Paul knows needs to happen in his life. And so he says, I must press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Why did Jesus take hold of you? That's the big question. Why did he take hold of you? Did Jesus rescue you so that you could just you know, feel safe and warm and just coast till he comes back. That's not why he took hold of you. He took hold of you for a mission. He took hold of you for your transformation. He took hold of you so that he could take your life and inject it into his plan and purpose to reach every living person on planet Earth with the hope of Christ. And as you engage in that mission and as you get involved in what he's called you to do, he rescued you for your transformation, for your perfection. He rescued you so that you could become like him. And until you are like him, you're not done. Stick you back in the oven. You're not done. Right? You're not done until you are just like Jesus. And I've been watching you. And you're not quite just like Jesus yet. And you've been watching me, and I'm not either. We have a ways to go. So Jesus took hold of us for the sake of his worldwide mission, and he took hold of us for the sake of our transformation. And Paul says of himself, he says, I have not achieved my goal yet. I have not arrived yet. I'm not there. I still need to be moving forward. I still need to be advancing in my journey with Jesus. And Paul is telling us that though the Holy Spirit does the work in us, and though the Holy Spirit does the work through us, none of it happens by accident. None of it happens by us being in neutral. Advancement never happens by accident. The place you will be 1 year from now, where you will be in your journey with Jesus and in your journey in life, where you will be 1 year from now will be the culmination and the collection of all of your, the collective result of all of the millions of choices that you make between now and 1 year from now. You make millions of choices in a year, and all of those choices are taking you somewhere. And where you will be 1 year from now will be the collective result of your choices from now till then. And so as we face 2020 and as we look towards the future, it matters how we move into the future. Paul says, forgetting what is behind, he says, this one thing I do, and then he says two things. This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Really, because they're two sides of the same thing, right? You can't move forward with a backward focus. You can't stay focused on what was if we're going to move into the future. And that is true of us as individuals. It's true of us as an organization. If we stay fixated on what has been successful, or if we stay fixated on what has been disastrous in our lives, or as a church, if we stay fixated on what has been, we will never move into what will be. And so forgetting what is behind, right? There are some things that in the last 90 years as a church, we've done well. There are some things we've done badly. There are some things in the last year we've done well and we've done badly. We need to learn from them, but we need to turn and we need to face forward. We need to say, God, what are you calling me to do? What are you calling us to do as a church in 2020? And doesn't matter what we did back here. It matters what you're calling us to do here, right? And so as individuals, we can allow the baggage from the last 40, 60, 80 years of our lives, or the last year of our life, we can allow that baggage to keep us focused on what has been, or we can say, all of that, no matter what it is, the good stuff and the bad stuff, Paul says even the good stuff is dung. Right? It's all behind me. It's all under the blood of Jesus. It's all washed away and covered. And I need to learn from some of it, but I need to turn and face the future. And I need to move into, God, what you are calling me to do. And I need to not just lean towards it. I need to press towards it. I need to strain towards it. I need to pull into the future. I need to move forward with effort and intention and passion into what God has for me in the year ahead, because there is a headwind, folks. There is pushback. The enemy wants you moving backwards, but Jesus is committed to you moving forward. But it's up to you. You have as much advancement as you want in 2020. It depends on whether you are going to stay fixated on what has been or strain towards what will be. Is that fair? You have as much advancement in 2020 as you want. You can stay focused on what has been, or you can strain towards what will be. Reverse the insanity. Reverse the insanity. Right? We all know that saying, that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. So I want to ask you, have you noticed a cycle in your life where you, you have the best intentions of the world at the beginning of a new year, and by the end of March, you just give up because you've failed so many times. You're just like, I give up. And you just kind of let the year happen to you instead of making the year deal with you. And so reverse the insanity means do something different. I want to challenge you this morning to not just this morning, I'm challenging you this morning, but I want to challenge you over the next week or two, as you're thinking about the year ahead, as you're thinking about the changing of seasons and just listening to God, what do you have in store for me? What are you calling me to in the year ahead? I want to challenge you to intentionally break your box, whatever box you've been in, whatever patterns you've lived in, if God is saying, do something different to have different results, that you begin to think about, pray about, what is it you need to do differently in 2020 so you can see different results? Do you need to find a mentor or a coach in your life to help you see blind spots that you don't see? Do you need to have the guts to ask a friend to be honest with you about what they see in your life? Do you need to end a friendship that is poisoning your attitudes and causing you to be critical, fearful, or angry? Do you need a prayer retreat? Do you need to just take some time and get away with God for 3 or 4 days and just spend time listening to Him, pouring out your soul to your Maker, your Savior, your friend? If you've never done that, I want to encourage you. That's something new you can do, something different you can do. It can help you find tools that help you with that too. Do you need to read more? Do you need to read less and do more? Do you need to find somewhere to serve, either in church ministry or in the community? Volunteer center, emergency shelter, just get out there in the community and connect with people who need Jesus. Serve. Do you need to get plugged into a connect group so that you're in intentional community? What does straining towards growth look like for you this year? I can't answer that for you. Nobody can answer that for you, but it's important that each of us ask, what does straining towards growth look like for me this year? Because if I'm not intentional, 2020 will just happen to me again. We're not meant to be ones who live as victims of happenstance, but ones who live with intentionality and faith and courage and seize what God has for us. Only the Holy Spirit can cause us to grow, but we must position ourselves for growth. Don't wait for the church to do something to cause you to grow, or for your pastor or your spouse or your friends or even God. Take responsibility for your spiritual growth. If you hear nothing else I say this morning, take responsibility for your spiritual growth. James 4 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Which of those comes first? We can sit around and say, oh God, you just do something new in my life. And you can wait all year and He will be waiting for you. Because He said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. God is waiting to see the desire and the passion in our hearts to pursue Him. And the moment He sees that, He comes running. He is waiting for us to draw near, waiting for us to press in, waiting for us to do something new, waiting for us to strain towards growth. Press on to win the prize. And no, that's not an Ottawa Senators player, and it's not a Toronto Maple Leaf player. Sad story. But it could be. There is a prize. Paul says, I press on. Forgetting what is past, forgetting what is behind. It's one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There is a prize to be won for chasing after Jesus. There is a prize to be won for getting intentional in 2020. There is a prize to be won for straining towards growth. There is a prize. But the prize is only there, as Paul says, he's pressing on toward the prize to win it. The prize is only there for those who will press, for those who will chase it. And we need to decide, is the prize worth it? What is the prize? The prize is Jesus. The prize is Jesus. He's who we are straining towards. He is who we are running towards. He is who we are pressing into and pressing forward to in 2020. He is the prize. You may say, well, that doesn't sound like much. He is everything, folks. He is everything. He is. C.S. Lewis said, Christianity, if it is true, is of ultimate importance. If it is not true, it is of no importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Either Jesus is Lord and he is everything and he is worth the unabandoned pursuit of your life, or he isn't Lord and he's not worth any of it. But the only thing he cannot be is moderately important in our lives. And if Jesus has been moderately important to you, then either you don't understand Jesus, or you're trying to cling to something else and Jesus. And that will not work. And so I want to challenge you this morning that he is the prize and he is worth it. Two things. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Excuse me. Two things are for sure this morning. Two things are for sure. One is you need to grow spiritually. If Paul, after all he did and after all he suffered for Christ, if he said, I'm not there yet, I need to strain towards growth. If he needed to grow, I guarantee you, you need to grow spiritually in 2020. And number two, spiritual growth and progress will not happen by accident, but only by intentionally straining towards growth through little choices that you will make every single day. You need to grow and you need to strain towards growth with every choice you make. Let's stand. So what do you want? What do you want in 2020? What do you want? And I'm not talking about stuff. What do you want from this year? What do you want? You want to coast through another year? You want to check off squares on a calendar until we get to December 31st, 2020, and you're, here we go again? Or do you want to seize God's purpose for your life for this year? Because it's up to you. It's up to you. We're going to respond to the Lord. I want to pray with you. But first, we're going to respond to the Lord with this song. We're doing that song, right? That we talked about? Yeah, okay. It's called Build My Life. What are you building your life on this year? You build it with every choice you make, right? So I want us to respond to the Lord as we worship Him, sing this song. But I want to ask you, when we get to the chorus of this song, I think we'll sing the verses through a couple times and then we get to the chorus. That's how it works. So we'll just sing it through. But when we get to the chorus of this song, I'm going to invite you. And I just, as a prophetic physical act of saying, I'm going to strain forward, I want to ask that we all just step out from where we are and strain forward today and stand here and say, I want everything God has for me in 2020. I want to strain towards growth. I want to commit myself to pursuing Him, whatever the cost, whatever it means, whatever I do. I want to choose Jesus. I want to choose growth. So let's respond to the Lord by singing this song. And when we get to that chorus, I'll invite you to move.